Om namo Vade Vasudevaya.
Om namo Vade Vasudevaya.
Om namo Vade Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Vade Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Canto 5, chapter 16, so we start a new chapter, and we will read text 9.1, but there is a description of the chapter, so if you don't mind, I'll read it, in order for us to understand what's going on now, but we are this is a new topic. So we were talking about before the characteristics of pure devotees and Varnavaraj and prenatal descendants and how the importance of being a devotee as the main qualification for the recognizing the history, the Bhagavatam. To be in the pages of Bhagavatam, you need to be qualified. And we were reading about different kings, but they weren't ordinary kings. The main quality that they'd been was they were pure devotees. So that was very important topic to learn from, to study. And now we changed a little bit the mood of the Bhagavatam. It's a description of the Jambudvipa. It's a bit dense and sometimes even difficult chapter to study. Well, actually, from here onwards, about the fifth canto Bhagavatam, we talk about the description of the universe, the geographic aspect, and details that are sometimes beyond our capacity to understand. So now we will start with the description of Jambudvipa. While describing the character of Maharaj Priyavrata and his descendants, Sukadev Goswami also described Meru Mountain and the planetary system known as Bhumandal. Bhumandal is like a lotus flower, and its seven islands are compared to the world of the lotus. The place known as Jambudvipa is in the middle of that world. In Jambudvipa, there is a mountain known as Sumeru, which is made of solid gold. The height of this mountain is 84,000 yojanas, and which is 16 yojanas are the below. Sorry. Yet 16,000 yojanas are below the earth. Its width is estimated to be 32,000 yojanas. At its summit, it's 60,000 yojanas at its foot. So it's inverse. So usually we see that the mountains generally goes from the width part, and then goes up. But in this case, it's downwards. 32,000 yojanas on the top and going down to 16,000. One yojana equals approximately to 8 miles. The king of the mountain Sumeru is the support of the planet Earth. So it's in the middle of the Earth. Yeah. On the southern side of the land known as Ilavita Varsha are the mountains known as Himava, Hemakuta, and Nisara. And on the northern side of the mountains are the mountains Nila, Sweta, and Sringa. Similarly, on the eastern and western side there are Malayan and Gandhamadana. Two large mountains surrounding Sumeru mountains are four mountains known as Mandara, Mesumandara, Suparsva, and Kumuda, each 10,000 yojanas long and 10,000 yojanas high. Of these four mountains, there are three trees 1,100 yojanas high. A mango tree, a rose apple tree, a kadamba tree, a banyan tree. There are also lakes full of milk, honey, sugar cane juice, and pure water. These lakes can fulfill all desires. There are also gardens named Nandana, Chitrarata, Vaibrajaka, and Sarvatuvadra. On the side of Suparva mountain is a kadamba tree with streams of honey flowing from its hollows, and on Kumuda mountain there is a banyan tree named Satavalsa, from whose roots flow rivers containing milk, yogurt, and many other desirable things. Surrounding Sumeru mountain, like the filaments of the world of the lotus, are 20 mountains range, such as Kuganda, Kurara, Kusumba, Vaikanka, and Trikuta. To the east of the Sumeru are the mountains Yatara, Devakuta. To the west are Pavana and Parijatra. To the south are Kailasa and Karavira, and to the north are Trisringa and Makara. These eight mountains are about 80,000 yojanas long, 2,000 yojanas wide, and 2,000 yojanas high. On the summit of the Sumeru mountain is Brahmapuri, the residence of Lord Brahma. Each of its four sides is 10,000 yojanas long. Surrounding Brahmapura are the cities of King Indra and seven other demigods. These cities are one-fourth of the size of Brahmapuri. Okay. This is the description that we are about to, this chapter that we are about to read, to study, and following also more descriptions in details about Jambudvip. So now we are start with text number one. It's a prose, so I'll read it, and I'll request you please if you can repeat word by word and the meaning. Text 1. Rayovacha putastvaya bhumandala jama vishesho java adhya tatpatiya pracha chaso yoti janganai chandrama vasaha krishna. Translation for word by word. If you can repeat, please. Raya Vacha,
Raja Vacha,
Maharashtra Chit Set, Puta,
already been said,
Twaya,
Vaju,
Bhumandala,
our
primary season known as Bhumandala,
Ajama, Vishesha,
Yogisham,
all the luminaries,
Ganai,
Ganai,
with her,
with her,
Chandraman,
Chandraman,
Jemun,
Va,
Va,
Idol,
Saha,
Saha,
with,
Drishyate,
Drishyate, is seen. Translation. King Parikshit said to Sukadeva Goswami, O Brahmana, you have already informed me that the radius of Bhumanga extends as far as the sun spreads its light and heat, as far as the moon and all the stars can be seen. Perfect. In this universe, it is asserted that the planetary system known as Bhumanga extends to the limits of the sun shining. According to the modern science, the sunshine reaches Earth from a distance of 93 million miles. If we calculate according to this modern information, 93 million miles can be considered the radius of Bhumanda. In the Gayatri Mantra, we chant Om Bhur Bhuvah Swaha. The word Bhur refers to Bhumanda. Tat Savitur Varenya, the sunshine is spread through a Bhumanda. Therefore, the sun is worshipable. The stars, which are known as nakshatras, are not different suns, as modern astronomers suppose. From Bhagavad Gita 10:21, we understand that the stars are similar to the moon, nakshatran aham shashi. Like the moon, the stars reflect the sun shining. Apart from our modern distinguished estimations of where the planetary systems are located, we can understand that the sky and its various planets were studied long before Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled. Sukadeva Goswami explained the location of the planets in this, and this indicates that the information was known long before Sukadeva Goswami related it to Maharaj Parikshit. The location of the various planetary system was not unknown to the sages who flourished in the Vedic age. Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Bhagavan Karati Vatsalam Pangum Bhagavan Jateri Jatri Bhata Mahamgande Sri Guru Vimatayam Paramananda Vahanam Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram Namo Vishupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Uttane Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Itinande Vanchakapatrubhyascha Kripashivarevacha Patitanam Pavanevya Vaishnavi Chaitanamo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhari Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, thank you so much for this opportunity to glorify Srimad Bhagavatam and send humble attempt to serve you all by sharing some little realizations of whatever we can understand. But also maybe it's an opportunity to get purification, as probably most of you know. We have different processes, different ways to perform the original service and kirtan, reciting words and holy names. is one of the most effective ways of purification. So at the end, it is also for my personal purification, and so I'm grateful to you all. And also requesting your blessings so I can be able to perform this service and respect my mother. Thank you. So this point, as we mentioned before, is a little bit different than when we were studying in Srimad Bhagavatam. And for many devotees, for many people, it's kind of complex, difficult to understand. In my case, it's difficult to understand. So I was thinking, how we can present at this point on this topic? And at the end, what is the purpose actually of this talking about these descriptions? Can be a little bit confusing because we want to hear more about Krishna and his activities and pastime. We are more attracted to that. So, and studying the material creation, the geography, and the way how it's described is complex because if we understand our conditioning, who we are, what it is. Human body, or a meaning of perception is three-dimensional. And these descriptions that we are about to learn, to read, it's multidimensional. So it's difficult to match this multidimensional aspect descriptions, realms, with three-dimensional capacity perceptions. So it's difficult. That doesn't go together. So it's a compare like a little and trying to understand the whole building. So if we acknowledge that reality, what is our conditioning, so our approach to these topics will be more humble. So we won't attempt to understand it by our own means because it's impossible. So, considering that our means are limited. We know that we have four defects in our conditioned state. So perhaps you can help me to remember what are those four conditions. Do you know? Do you remember? Do you know it?
Our senses are not perfect.
That's right. Our senses are imperfect. And for them, we have the tendency to commit mistakes. And that means also we have an illusion. And unfortunately, because of these three, we have a tendency to cheat. So with that, we can see, for example, those who, if we try to understand this topic with these conditions, with those these limitations, whatever we can have will be illusion, and if we spread that so-called understanding will be cheating. Yeah? So it said that to these three conditions that we have, we cannot do anything about it because it was impossible due to our past activities. But we have certain control about cheating, so we have to be more mindful about it, especially if we are practitioner of this spiritual process. So trying to practice truth is one of the main principles of our pillars of the spiritual practice. Well, with this point, if we wonder why so then we study these difficult topics that we are not able to grasp because we are limited, and Parikshit Maharaj himself is asking Sukadeva Goswami to describe more about these topics. We understand that Parikshit Maharaj is not ordinary. Devotee is a pure devotee. And so a pure devotee asking more details about this creation has a purpose. He said in the subsequent text, and he expressed himself that he remembers how Sukadeva Goswami in the previous chapter describe how Priyadatta Maharaj created, divided the Bhumanda. But now it was a generic description, but now he wants more details. But why? And in the third chapter, if I'm wrong, he expressed why. Because If we understand how Krishna is present in his creation through his energies, we will be able to understand more Krishna, relate more Krishna, and interact with him in a better manner. So, that's in related to that point, I found quite interesting the Bhaktivedanta Purport Bhagavad Gita, when Prabhupada expressed why it's important for us to study these complex chapters or complex topics. This is the purpose of the text 7, chapter 10, Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada said, "The highest summit of the spiritual perfection is knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unless one is firmly convinced of the different opulence of the Supreme Lord, he cannot engage in devotional service." That's quite an important point. Unless we are not firmly convinced of the different opulence of the Supreme Lord, we cannot engage in devotional service. Generally, people know that God is great, but they do not know in details how God is great. Here are details in one whose factually how God is great, then naturally he becomes a surrendered soul and engages himself in emotional service of the Lord. When one factually knows the opulence of the Supreme Lord, there is no alternative but to surrender to him. This factual knowledge can be known from the description of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and similar literatures. Then furthermore, Prabhupada explains, he said, there are some opulences of the Supreme Lord. When one is firmly convinced of them, he accepts Krishna with great faith and without any doubt, and he engages in devotional service. All this particular knowledge is required in order to increase one's intense interest in loving devotional service to the Lord. So this is quite important point too. I repeat, all this particular knowledge is required in order to increase one's interest in the loving devotional service to the Lord. One should not neglect to understand fully how great Krishna is. For by knowing the greatness of Krishna, one will be able to be fixed in sincere devotional service. So I found quite important this detail, and as a motivation also for us to prepare our consciousness, our attitude, how we can approach these difficult topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. It has some purpose to understand the greatness of God, so we'll enable us to develop proper attitude, be submissive, and also at the same time increase our desire to be engaged in devotional service. So that's one purpose why these descriptions are in detail described here in Bhagavatam, to help us to understand how Krishna is present in his creation through his opulences, through his energies. And also, Parikshit Maharaj explained that by understanding the presence of the Lord, we appreciate his universal form, and we learn how to interact with that form of the Lord, but also at the same time purify our consciousness. But there are requirements for understanding this in some form. So you probably can remember what is the instruction of Krishna given to Arjuna in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna is requesting Krishna, please show me your universal form. Sri Krishna says, well, you, I'll show you, but there is a requirement for that. With your conditional state right now, your actual situation with two eyes, you are not able to see this universe on the phone. So that we can extrapolate to our reality, we cannot see. But we are in the interaction with that universe on the phone because it's the most close form of the Lord. Well, we interact with this form that is closest to us. We have the deities, we have Krishna's presence, spiritual form is vision over understanding, but the universal form through the nature, we have different or direct experience of this aspect of God, but we are not able to understand fully. So Krishna tells to Arjuna, I'll help you to see this form, so I need you the ability to see that, I specialize. So Krishna gave that blessing to that empower Arjuna to see the universal form. And it was so overwhelming for him, even with the influence of Krishna, or with the help of Krishna, Arjuna wasn't able to grab hold of this universal form and be peaceful in heart. He was quite overwhelmed and immediately requested Krishna, please. Disappear that form and come back to me with your two arms form and blow it close to my heart. But the point basically is that we cannot understand these descriptions of the universal form given that here in Bhagavatam by our own means it's Krishna who is giving us the ability to understand. But also, Krishna provides different means for that. It's not just him directly giving us the ability to be himself, but also he gives us different means for that. And if you, for example, again, back to Bhagavad Gita, if you remember what is the first or main instructions that Krishna gives to Arjuna to understand the Absolute Truth, and it's also one of the first regulation in the Bhakti devotional service. What we should do as a sincere practitioner of the spiritual process. Do you know what is the main requirement of the first one that we should do?
Be non-envious.
Pardon me?
Being non-envious.
Being non-envious. Can be, yeah, but it's something like a requirement very important for us. Because without that we cannot progress in our spiritual life.
Taking cognizance
of Krishna. Cognizance of Krishna, yes, there is a way to do that. Because directly we cannot do it. We do through a spiritual master. That's the point. The first instruction of the Nectar of Devotion, for example, is to accept the spiritual master. And I think the way how Krishna also instructed Bhagavad Gita. Do you remember what is the text for that? 434? Tagli Pranipatina, Pranipatina, Sevana, Upadeshanti, Tinyana, Gyanana, Sakharajina. Because if we approach to the seer, those who have seen the Absolute Truth, they will be able to reveal us. But for that, we have to do it in a proper mood. We have to approach submissively, asking questions, and rendering service. So it's the same point is repeated here. It's not by our own qualification that we can learn about these transcendental topics. It has to be through different mediums that Krishna himself organized directly, himself, or he sends on mediums, agents for us. Okay, so that point is very important to understand. And that, for example, here in also Bhagavatam, especially Bhagavatam, in the 12 cantos, we know that we heard many times that there are 10 topics that the Bhagavatam is describing in the chapter 2, oh, sorry, in the canto, second canto, chapter 10, text 1. So there was only mention about the 10 topics. Do you remember those 10 topics? There is Sarva, Visagra,
Vistana,
Koshana, Urti, Mandatara, Ishanagata, Niroda, Mukti, and Ashraya. Yes, that's right. So those are the 10 topics that Srimad Bhagavatam is describing in details, in different ways. According to Jiva Goswami in Dada Sandara, there are descriptions about how this is organized. And generally, for example, Siddha Goswami in commentaries of the Dada Sandara say that all the chapters, all the characters of Bhagavatam describe directly and indirectly about these 10 topics. But some chapters, some cantos emphasize more in specific topics. So in that way, for example, but why these points are there? But because we want to know more about Krishna, but we require prerequisites for that. In order to get qualified, we need to understand the different ways how Krishna is manifested, his energies, and these 10 topics a means for us to become qualified in a way and eventually understand the Summum Krishna himself. So, for example, about the creation, it's more described, Swaga is more described in the third canto. And this is starting from Sukadeva Goswami, because Sukadeva Goswami starts talking about that from the third canto onwards. And he starts from Swaga, the description of the creation, how Krishna creates. So that is third canto, but then Visarga is also described in the third canto, a little bit of the third canto, second half, fourth canto, and also in the first canto, first part of the one. Fifth canto, we also, with the Arata Maharaja, description of the Visarga. Then we have Stana, that is specifically this part of the Bhagavata, how all the living entities are placed in different planetary systems according to their levels of consciousness, and how the bodies or the forms of living entities have been created based in the desire of the living entities. It said that Brahma didn't create the bodies until the desire of the living entity was manifested. So he has to create the body that match according to the desire of the living entity. So the 4,000 forms of life are based on the type of desires that we have. And this number is based on the three modes of nature, the combination of three modes of nature that we all are influenced by. And so how the combination of these modes also create all the type of consciousness and desires that we have. And we acquire bodies based on them. So this is Stana, and this is right in this second part of the second half of this fifth canto. Then we have Poshana. Poshana is protection, and the special protection that Krishna gives to his devotees. In details, it's more emphasized in the sixth canto, where Krishna expresses or manifests different forms how he protects his devotees according to the level of consciousness. And the seventh canto is describing more about Uti, the image of creation based in the tendencies of us, the inclination of us to act. And so our activities are classified to two levels. Do you know which are those two levels? So two categories of activities that we perform based on our consciousness. It's activities which are auspicious and non-auspicious. Yes, two different varieties of activities. So again, based in our level of consciousness. And also in the fifth canto, This is Karmakrasya Dharma. Because of that, they over proclivity to act according to our level of consciousness, how the modes of nature are influenced on us, has the influence on us, so we have also the social order based in these three modes of nature and the influence upon us. Then we have Mambantaravatar, or Mambantara, that the topic is more described in the eighth canto. And quite important this point, because it said that when Brahma, who is the secondary creator of the universe, when he wants to interact with Krishna, he cannot do it personally, directly. What he does is that he goes to the shore of the milk ocean and he has to sit there and meditate. And by meditation, Krishna reveals to him what he has to do, what is the problem, the solutions, and that's the way how Brahma he interacts with Krishna. But with the Manus, it's quite important how Krishna interacts in a different way. Because the function of the Manus is to establish the spiritual principles for the living entities to gradually elevate their consciousness. So for Krishna, that's a very important task. So he tried to directly intervene in that way because it's for our benefit. For us, we need to establish or to follow established spiritual principles, authorized. So Krishna is acting directly and indirectly in that process through the Manus, and also when he incarnates during the period of the Manus. Krishna has taken different incarnations, and in this way he helped to the establishment of new spiritual principles for our benefit. So it's very dear to Krishna at this point for our benefit, because he is very much concerned how to help us to come out from this state of condition. And then we have Ishankata, that is more described in the ninth canto of Bhagavatam, different incarnations of the Lord. And Mukti is described in the ninth canto. But also it's important point to understand what actually means Mukti. According to Lord Chaitanya, for example, Mukti means give up all material desires, all denominations, bodies, and revive our internal consciousness, or revive our constitutional position, means being engaged in emotional service. So Lord Chaitanya and Shastaka give us one text or one verse that is describing this mood. Nayananda Yananda Sundari Kalitan Charati Shakamaji Amajamani Jamani Shalala Vyuga. So, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, I have no desire for followers, no beautiful women, and my only desire is to be engaged in devotional service, have devotional service, birth after birth. So, even that, a devotee doesn't even ask going to the spiritual world. For a devotee, it's more important for the real liberation is to be in association of devotees and be engaged in emotional service. So, thinking, well, this is an interesting point because somehow we're here, we are among devotees, and we have the opportunity also to be engaged in emotional service. So, it means we are in that platform of real mukti, but I guess the difference is because of our level of consciousness. If we are really aware of that and taking advantage of this opportunity that we have, so there's another topic, a different type of devotional service and for those factors. But I just mentioned this point for us to meditate a little bit more how fortunate we are, and what we should do with that. Because we have all the means, and so when we are dealing with it. Then the last point is Asraya, is the supreme shelter, Krishna. Krishna's activities, Krishna's pastimes. Quite interesting how the Bhagavatam is organized, because we have 18,000 chapters of verses, 335 chapters, and one third of all that is only dedicated to Krishna, the supreme, the, his original form, Krishna's pastime, and it is one third of all that information. So, in that way, we can understand that all different, nine different topics are connected with this main topic. So for us to understand this different topic is to help us to connect with this main point that is clearly emphasized in the Srimad Bhagavatam. I would say it's one third of whole Bhagavatam, and the 10 canto, specifically the 10 canto, 90 chapters just for this topic. Also we have part of the first canto, activities of Krishna, and the 11th canto as well. So that's another way to understand a bit more why the structures of these topics or the description of these sometimes difficult or challenging topics in Bhagavatam, for us to understand more the presence of Krishna and his divine energies, and all for our benefit. And also another interesting part, perhaps it will help us to see how this structure or why these topics are presented in this manner is because, as initially we mentioned, in our conditional state, three-dimensional perception, ability of perceive or interact with nature through three-dimensional ability, so we require the interaction with the most gross aspect of the energy of the world, means the material nature. That's at first level of understanding of the absolute truth. So we know that absolute truth has three levels. You will remember that? Yeah. The first one is Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. That's right. So in that way, for example, by studying this universal form, the interaction of nature God, and in the first canto maybe is also teaching us how we should learn or interact with this Brahman aspect of the Lord. So in that way, get the purification and being able then after reach the second level, understanding how Krishna is present in this universe through the localized aspect, Paramatma. Because he said that all these energies of this material creation, material elements, they cannot be active if Krishna is not present there. And he is present there through the medium of Paramatma, his localized aspect. By realizing that, we will be able to interact with Krishna in a more complete, more holistic way, and enable us to reach the topmost understanding about the Bhagavan aspect of the Lord. So it's a nicely organized Bhagavatam. In this aspect, for example, I think it's one story that perhaps you've heard before. It's a Nasruddin. Have you heard about this Nasruddin? He's a famous philosopher, but a very wise, sane person. He said that he was lying down in the kind of sleeping, and his feet were more in direction to the Mecca. And one Sufi person around said, "Hey, Nandi, what are you doing? Don't show your feet to the Mecca." So, and he was like, "I'm so sorry, I didn't want you to do it, but please tell me, where is not God so I can put my feet there?" So, you understand what the idea is? Basically, if we understand how Krishna is present in his creation, we have to learn that he is everywhere, And we can learn to interact with him, and that's why he is everywhere. And in different ways, through his energies, through his personal presence as well. And we have the meetings here, we have the holy name, we have the material teachers, and different incarnations. And I can't remember where specifically it's described, but it said that Krishna takes different forms as a number of different forms of living in different lives are. So different incarnations, and his incarnations are like the waves of the ocean, unlimited. And the only purpose of that is to help us to come out from this conditioning stage, to go back to our constitutional position, loving service to him, and be happy. So this is almost the end of my presentation, but a little bit more, if you allow me to share some tips that I was reading. How Sulaputra Prabhu presented some analogies for us to helping us to understand what is coming. Because as I was mentioned before, it's very complex. He said to understand these topics about especially the cosmology of the geography of the universe, and especially this description of the Jambi Bhumanda, we can understand that it's a description of a cubit with different faces, different sizes. It's one thing with different sizes, different perspectives. So sometimes we can read a perspective from this side and can be so confusing when another description comes from the other side, but it's the same thing. So if we understand this presentation comes from different perspective of the same thing, different angles of perception, so with that approach we will be able to digest a little bit more what we are reading. Another analogy that he said is that it's like a painting, a canvas, where for example it's described different scenes of the person, for example a personality is doing different things. So in this part of the painting is doing, maybe sleeping, and another is walking or talking with somebody, but it's the same person, different activities. And we have that experience to see different paintings when, for example, we see Krishna's pastimes, sometimes painting that describing Goloka Vrindavan and material world and things, different activities of Krishna's different, the dancer Ras when he's dancing with different words and different positions at the same time. So the same way, if we have that approach for reading this part, this complex description of Bhagavatam, we will be able to a little bit grasp what's going on there. Okay, so just sharing these tips. Hopefully it will be useful for you and for me as well. So I'll stop here. If you have any questions, comments, especially comments, I would appreciate it because this is an important topic. You have
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. When you were giving the class, I was remembering one story. Galiyam sharab peena de mandir mein baith kar ya vah jagah dikha de jahan par khuda na ho. The meaning is that if a person who wanted to, somebody wanted to drink wine, so he is asking the in charge in the mosque, you know, Mohammedan mosque.
Yeah.
So he is asking, please show me a place where there is no God.
Yeah.
So why can't I drink in the mosque?
That's
right.
Thank you.
That's the Sangha Buddhist. They explained to me that actually, when it says Buddha has those descriptions in Srimad Bhagavatam, not all of them are literate. For example, when it says Mount Meru is like a golden mountain which is upside down, and for example, it could be like, if you look at stars from a far distance and they're pretty close to each other and they go up in a spiral, then you could say, oh, it looks like a golden mountain. Or when it says there's an ocean of milk, it doesn't mean it's milk, it means it's because milk is very precious liquid, so then it means it's a very precious liquid. So what's your point of view?
Well, actually, as initially we said, this is a description of a multidimensional aspect. We are not able to understand really. But the Bhagavatam is also, I think, the Swami as well. The word is, like, Bhagavatam has different language. It is described in different aspects for different levels of consciousness. And we can take the meaning of the Bhagavatam literally in many aspects, in all aspects, because it's true. And also it has hidden aspects as well, for that require the help of acharyas to reveal those that knowledge and enable us to understand. So in our case, as followers of our Sankaraya Prabhupada, for example, we understand Bhagavatam and whatever is described is as it is. It's and if we try to interpret it like that, it's because it's our mental conclusions. It has to have a reference. That's my humble understanding. Anything else? Well, if today is also Pandavindra, you can see, important day. for those who perhaps are not so familiar about what actually this means, for us spiritual practitioners, we have under the guidance of Lord Chaitanya and our Sankaraya, we are requested to follow some kind of austerities, so-called austerities, like a fasting, for example, twice a month in the Kadasi days, as a means for us to offer loving sacrifice to the Lord and be engaged more in devotion and service. Every Kadasi, the sacrifice that we do is fasting from grains and we utilize more of our time consciously in engage more in spiritual practices. But in Pandavani Jaka Kadasi, it's more, it has a special consideration in the sense that it is related to Pandavas. The Pandavas, especially Bhima, who wasn't able to follow this prescription, the fasting, because of his bodily constitution, fire in his stomach. For him, fasting was very difficult. But he was concerned because he wanted to follow this principle, because his brothers and mother, they all very faithfully followed the classes. And so he approached to Vyasadeva and said, please help me, God, what should I do? I cannot fast, I want to stay 2 days in the mountain. But Vyasadeva was emphasizing, well, fasting is important, you should do it. And he again said, well, I can't, it's very difficult for me. So Vyasa gave to him a special concession. He said that if you fast in a specific Ekadasi like today, Pandavani Jala Ekadasi is known for that, you will get the benefits of fasting but all the 24 Ekadasi in the year, but it has to be even with some water. It's not just grain, but water. So in that way, you will receive all the benefits for this fasting. So why we talk today about that is because it's an opportunity for us to consciously offer a little bit of sacrifice to for the pleasure of the Lord, maybe. Because we are not trying to get the benefit of the Ekadasis and describing the Mahatmas, the benefit of the Ekadasis and delivering that such and such blessings. But mainly for us as spiritual practitioners, it's the opportunity to be more engaged in devotion and service for the pleasure of the Lord. And also, it's a win-win situation because fasting helps to condition health properties. Therefore, the body is so much against those people who have not so much control in our eating habits. The body needs some rest. So by fasting, we are giving the body the opportunity to restore and heal. So it has many benefits as well. But as a spiritual practitioner, for us today, for example, it's another opportunity to consciously offer something to the Lord and engage more in devotional service at the level of our capacity. So that was the daughter I wanted to mention about Pandya Vijaya Galaxy. So if you don't have any more comments and questions, I'll end here. Thank you so much. Jai Hind, Jai Hind, Jai Hind.